Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstkclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time for Forgiveness Friday, 877-881-1053. Do you need to ask for forgiveness? Does somebody need to ask for forgiveness from you? Let us know. A couple more shout outs real quick. We'll keep those going all day long. From the 254, shout out to my daughter Katie starting law school in San Antonio this week. Congratulations to that. Shout out to my dog Declan, who is visiting me today and taking a well-deserved day off from his work at a children's hospital. Wow, that's a really cool dog right there.
They need forgiveness?
No. Those are the...
I'll forgive the person with the dog.
I think they're bragging, right?
Yeah, it does sound like bragging.
Let me ask you this. This is a delicate one to start off.
Uh-oh.
If there was somebody who taught me and my wife how to perform CPR on an infant, jeez, should I call them out for something else involving the Cowboys?
I had to learn that when I was working at the YMCA. It's not the most... fun. It is good to learn, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I have an idea on how to do it.
They're teaching an important skill. Should I call him out for a Cowboys thing?
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
He kept using the example, and stay with me here, of Tyrone Smith.
Okay.
And then he said, I don't know if you guys know Tyrone Smith. Mm-hmm. He's a lineman. He plays tackle. He's gigantic. And my wife just looked at me and she goes, are you dying? And I was like, oh my God, somebody... I didn't say anything to him because he was so excited about meeting Tyrone Smith, mm-hmm, and telling us about meeting Tyrone Smith that I didn't want to ruin his day by being like, hey.
So this isn't a friend of yours.
No.
You just knew this guy for this one day.
He taught us CPR.
This one class.
Yes.
And you didn't want to stand up and say, yes, I know Tyrone Smith.
Yes.
It's Tyrone, not Tyrone.
He's a close personal friend.
Yes.
I have his cell phone number in my phone.
He was so happy about it. I didn't want to take that away from him.
Well, you want him to be correct in the
future?
This is very similar to the if somebody has spinach in their teeth.
Okay.
Do you tell them immediately? Yes, you do.
Because that dude is embarrassing himself all the time.
Yes.
Okay. So we need to say, hey, Sean, it's Robert Saleh. Is that what you're... That's probably off air.
Hold on. How does Sharif say that?
I think he says Saleh like every time. And I probably should have told him that before the show, but I forgot.
It's okay. It's just us. And
I got no time now. Okay. So we're good. We're good. All right. One more personal Forgiveness Friday. If we can,
he said,
just trying to get it out of the way.
You know, I got a lot of
light the match.
This is my own Festivus. I got a lot of grievances with you people.
And you're going to hear about it.
Yeah. Okay. So the lady who was cracked out at the 7-Eleven off of Broadway.
Pardon?
All right. You know, she looked like, I don't know, it could have been meth, could have been a variety of things. She's standing in the corner when I was at the 7-Eleven. And unfortunately, 7-Eleven expert customer service, they checked me out, zipped me right through. And right after they finished ringing me up, we had our transaction and everything, the lady who's just standing in the corner, I don't know what she's waiting for, who she's waiting for. She's not waiting on any of the cashiers. She's not actively engaged with them. And she goes, am I in Garland? Are we in Garland right now? And the guy running the register is like, yeah, why? And she goes, figures. And I had so many questions. Like, I get it. But like, I couldn't stop to hear the rest of the conversation without it being weird because I had already gotten my stuff and I was walking towards the door.
It's a 7-Eleven. Who cares?
Yeah, but I really wanted to know. Like,
it can be weird in there sometimes.
That's true, and I regret not sticking around.
Being a poster of Mookie Blaylock in there.
Yes. Or Leanne Rimes.
Oh, she's from there, too?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, now my buddy, she used to do cartwheels in her front yard.
Yeah. So I wanted to stick around, what? But that lady needs
was
to ask for forgiveness. Yeah.
Leanne Rimes used to do cartwheels in my
because she doesn't there. Like Garland.
Well, and also, like, she looked like she was waiting to get her next drug fix hanging out at the 7-Eleven. I was like, don't pretend like you're higher and mightier than Garland.
Kevin,
there are lots
you
of other reasons.
Missed out on what was
maybe
happening
she wanted
there.
Garland to be worse.
I think that she, I think, like, that's pretty much Garland. Like, all the things
it.
That were happening in that moment were all
it.
Garland, having lived in Garland before.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of understand what Garland is.
She was a time traveler, Kevin.
They're good Garlands. They're bad Garlands. Yeah. They're moderate Garlands.
Yeah.
Just, can I say moderate or medium? Yeah. What's medium?
Nobody's really a moderate Garland, though. They're either, you know what I'm saying?
She was a time traveler trying to get her bearings.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why she was like, am I in Garland? She needed to make sure that what this place was.
It was a 7-Eleven off of Broadway and 30, and from the 817, I just ordered lunch for you guys. I got to pick it up. I'll be there in 45 to 50 minutes.
Awesome.
Now, I want to say in advance, that person needs forgiveness if they're doing a bit, and they, like, just keep stringing it out for the rest of the show.
I'll be there. They end up at the end of the show. They're like, sorry, guys, Whataburger line took really
long. Oh, my God.
Don't mess with my tummy.
I would like forgiveness. That was a good mark, Reggie.
What are you
Reggie.
Supposed to do?
I would like forgiveness from the trash company of the city of Plano.
Big
Trash Incorporated.
I have, big trash, big garbage. I have shoved so much styrofoam into these trash cans lately, having moved lately. And on top of that, yesterday, they won't take anything now that's sitting next to the trash can. They're like, nope, we're not doing that. We're just using the truck. We're dumping in. So if it doesn't fit into that, well, we've had extra garbage because we moved and we have lots of extra stuff now. So yesterday it was piled 3 feet out of the trash can. And I was just like, man, but it's just like all these styrofoam bags full of styrofoam. I don't know what else to do with it, but I'm sorry, environment, for having
throw it in the ocean.
Well, Mike,
that feels worse.
To show the trash people, I'll make it worse.
How are we not past styrofoam at this point? How have we not come up with a better solution than styrofoam? Something that'll just like dissolve and go away or something. Like, are we that afraid of the styrofoam, big styrofoam, that they're like, no, we run this industry.
Man.
So
I'm intrigued by the idea of big styrofoam, and they have all those little white pieces sitting around their corporate office, and they're like, we still haven't figured it out either.
The thing about styrofoam, Mike, that drives me nuts is once it breaks, it's everywhere. And you can't sweep it. It's all over the garage, and it's just like, that's my nemesis, man, is styrofoam.
All right. And this...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, by the way, I think that lunch person is 100% awesome. On the level, which is super cool. Does Mark Cuban need forgiveness? He has been hit with a lawsuit.
Again?
Do you want to guess what the lawsuit's for?
Is it Ross Perot? Is he upset about the
insider trading?
The buy and sell of the Mavericks?
I do not believe that is what the current lawsuit is for. The current lawsuit is that he was part of a massive Ponzi scheme. This is a class action lawsuit filed in federal court in Florida on behalf of not thousands, not tens of thousands, but millions of investors, alleging that 3.5 million Americans lost more than $5 billion in cryptocurrency assets through Voyager, which Mark Cuban is a partner of, Voyager Digital.
Yeah, I wonder where this crypto thing is going.
Away?
It's a good answer.
It was such a... it still is. Don't get me
sure,
wrong. When
sure.
I say it was such a risky deal to get in with no history, that's what people do. And when you get in on computers, when people are like, this computer thing's stupid, but you did it in the 60s or 70s or invested in Apple in the early 80s, guess what? You became a multimillionaire if you invested enough money in it because of you hit on something that nobody knew the future of.
Yeah.
And it was a new product. And this is a digital product. And nobody really knows the future of it. That's why I'm not investing. It's just too risky for me to invest in kind of your NFT, cryptocurrency type of stuff. I just ultimately don't know where it's going. And like I said, 20 years from now, my kids could be like, God, you were so stupid not to just put $10,000 into Bitcoin or into cryptocurrency or into NFTs. Look at what they're worth now. And I'd be like, I just It just was too risky for me. I didn't truly understand it, so I just stayed more in your basic, you know, type of investment stuff.
Does Sports Illustrated need forgiveness, or is this a fair article that they have put together? Quote, is Nationals starter Patrick Corbin having the worst pitching season ever? Corey, may I present you with some numbers to back this idea?
I would like facts.
Patrick Corbin Burnson is currently four and 16 with a 7.02 ERA and a WAR of a rarely, if ever seen, -2.5.
They took WAR away from him?
That's right.
There are negative WARs. I'm in there. I was below average.
But I bet yours was better than -2.5.
I think -0.6 for my career, or -0.3. It's somewhere in there. It's not a one. It wasn't that bad. But I don't know. That WAR thing really upsets me. I don't understand.
I bet it does, actually.
I don't understand WAR because I was with Spencer Howard. Like, he has a -1.2. It might be different.
Right.
But he went on the injured list, so... and then like Dennis Santana, who I felt like has been somewhat of an average relief pitcher this year, is -0.7. And I feel like there's a major difference when I watch Dennis Santana versus Spencer Howard and what they're helping the team with or not helping the team with. But yet you look at their WARs and you're like, well, they're not that far off.
Now, Corey, do you need to ask for forgiveness? Because you've started a couple of conversations here in the fan text. First of all, lots of people telling us stuff about styrofoam, including the idea that goats will eat styrofoam.
Which you want to see.
Oh, my God. I so badly want to see a goat eat a tin can or a styrofoam or something. But I've also been told that's not good for them. But
just
also
leveling trash out
there. But also from the 214, oh, Corey. All high and mighty now in Plano. You forgot about Garland. You changed, man.
That same person also said the best idea of like what Garland is Scooters. And that is the truth. If you've ever been to Scooters, you walk in, you're like, this is exactly
That's
what it's
restaurant?
Like. It's, no, it's a bar.
Yeah.
And that Scooters, I lived right around the corner from it. Man, that place, you could find everything in Scooters. It was a wild night. You never knew where you're going to run out of, like what you're going to have to sprint out of there for.
So does the lady... on the police call that my wife made need forgiveness.
Uh-oh.
So Friday, you've seen the pictures, Corey, because you were with me at the time.
Yeah.
My daughter gets into a wreck near our house and rips off the passenger side rear door. It's totally ripped off. A truck smokes our car coming out of a gas station, ruins the car. We're getting like estimates now on how much it's going to cost to fix. So my daughter, 17-year-old, is in a little bit of shock. And luckily she didn't do anything wrong. This person just pulled out of the gas station and smoked the car. And she's physically okay, but emotionally a little bit in shock. So she calls up my wife. We were still in Oxnard that day. And my wife says, all right, well, I'll call the police and I'll be right there. To make sure you're okay. And the person who hit her was very nice, exchanged insurance, stayed there, and they called the police. And an hour later, nobody had showed up. And so my wife calls again, like, hey, what's going on? Like, we're not showing up. We don't do that anymore.
Wow.
And so it's like, why wouldn't you just
say that
to start off? There's a major wreck. I was like, you know when they would have came? If you would have kept that car on Davis and blocked all the traffic and been like, there's a ruined car here blocking all the traffic. I bet police show up and they have to move the car to get it out of the way. I just felt like it was interesting that the Dallas Police Department, which I do really like, and I don't get it. You call in a major wreck. There's, you know, I think there would need to be a little bit of kind of, not a ticket or anything, but a little bit at least of a write-up.
I gotcha.
But there, we don't do this wreck thing anymore.
Yeah, I mean, especially if nobody's injured, that's the experience I've had is that they're like, look, man, exchange information. We can't be sending folks out there all the time. But
I
do find like that's weird that they didn't let y'all know that.
Yeah,
that
they're like, yeah, somebody will be on the way. Then my wife called an hour later, like, I mean, it is 100 degrees out here. We're kind of waiting. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, we say that, but they're not coming.
Corey, well, all of y'all, does John Calipari need or deserve forgiveness?
He's a great coach.
Is he?
He always cares about the education of
I think he is a great
college student athlete.
Is he?
They're in Bahamas right now.
They are.
Yeah, some of their players are getting paid for that.
I only know that through Will Chambers, as he's sending me text messages about Carson Wallace. Maybe it's Kaysen Wallace from Richardson, who's at
You got to get ready for not winning the national championship.
But they're going to play some dudes in the league, though.
That's true. John Calipari was talking about people coming to Kentucky, and he said, and the reason is, this is a basketball school. It's always been that. Alabama's a football school. So is Georgia. I mean, they are. No disrespect to our football team. I hope they win 10 games and go to bowls. But at the end of the day, that makes my job and it makes all of our jobs easier. This is a basketball school. Mark Stoops caught wind of this and he responded, basketball school, question mark. I thought we competed in the SEC. Hashtag four straight postseason wins. And so he was bringing some science that they have had two 10-win seasons in the last 4 years and won four straight bowl games. Like, I definitely get Calipari's point. At no time in the recent history have I thought, yeah, Kentucky, football school.
They've been good at football, though.
I know.
Really,
when they had Tim Couch, they won it all, and he was the number one
pick. They did not. He was the number one pick, but they did not win it all. That definitely did not happen.
But did we talk about why Calipari is doing all this and starting all this ruckus?
Because he has to prepare for whenever he eventually gets put on NCAA probation and leaves the school.
He doesn't have to worry about that maybe anymore,
right? That's true.
Unless he, has somebody take Derrick Rose's SAT.
Yeah, that was a thing.
That was at Memphis, but he wasn't the coach there.
Yeah. He wants them to build a new training facility with a museum to, the program's history in the middle of campus, so he's trying to get funding for that. That's what started all this. Like, yo, we're a basketball school, so give the basketball program money.
Mm-hmm. Heartbuilt Bill Parcells. It'll get approved.
Man, that is a good point.
We need something to happen in this Metroplex where Jerry has to sacrifice one more time. Right? Didn't that sacrifice pay off?
Yeah, got a new stadium.
It didn't pay off in a championship.
But they don't need a new stadium anymore.
Right, I know. Son of a gun.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, our Odyssey MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr. Plus, should kids be allowed to have cell phones in school? All of it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We will talk with Tony Gwynn Jr. in just a minute, but before we get to any of that, we're also posing the question, should kids be able to have their cell phones in school? Also, I know there's a lot happening today. This is a shout-out Friday from the 817. Shout-out to my father-in-law, Kurt. Today is his 60th birthday. And then also, shout-out to my friend Chad for passing his Calculus 2 test yesterday, studied hard, and got a 97. So all kinds of good stuff happening right there.
Good for Chaz Green that he figured out
else. I think it's Chad and not Chaz Green. I do not believe that is the case. And then also, do we need to shout out Antonio Brown or just acknowledge that he needs attention and we need to pay attention to him?
It was a pretty glorious tweet. That quote is pretty fantastic.
His tweet, which I think is not any of this is real. My biggest regret in my career doesn't involve, this is all him, by the way, calling my GM a cracker or showing up to Raiders camp late in a hot air balloon with frozen feet or throwing rocks at that UPS driver. And it definitely doesn't involve taking my shirt off and doing a victory lap around the Jets stadium mid-game while throwing up deuces. My biggest regret is that I'll never get to see me, Antonio Brown, play live. Sure, I can watch the game afterwards, but I can't imagine what that was like for y'all to see something like that. Like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform at Red Rocks.
Did you see what Red Rocks quote tweeted that with?
Jesus performed at Red Rocks?
No, the Red Rocks Amphitheater quote tweeted that and said the Jesus set was fire.
Oh, man.
So true. Right now, another person who is fire on the line is our Odyssey MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls are brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
Hanging out in the hotel in Washington, D.C.
Oh, man. Is D.C. a place you're like, I like being in D.C., or you're like, man, get me back to the West Coast quickly?
You know, I don't mind getting out of the West Coast and getting back east for a little bit, but I prefer to be on the West Coast.
Yeah. Coming back to Texas, it was a little bit different. I'm kind of curious, Tony, because last night we saw the Field of Dreams game and we saw that introduction and everything. What does the term we want to have a catch mean to you?
Wow. It takes me back to playing catch with my dad. And I think, you know, from my experience, was probably a little bit different than everybody else's, considering my dad was a big leaguer. But when I had a catch with my pops, it was one simple rule. I had to hit him in the chest. And I probably was allowed maybe one or two throwaways before the game ended. So I learned real quickly that I better be pretty accurate, or this catch wasn't going to last long.
Yeah, I tell the kids I'm coaching, Tony, I said, we're playing catch, not chase.
Exactly. My dad was a stickler for accuracy. So it ended up helping me down the line. But it was tough for a young eight, nine-year-old to consistently be in the chest.
That was always the fun part about, you know, playing catch with my dad was, you know, okay, if I'm playing football, I was Jaden Novacek trying to tiptoe the sideline. If I'm playing baseball, he's like, you're Steve Buscemi, go try and make this grab and everything. And that was always fun. Now I'm finding out with my son who's getting into baseball, it's a lot more, we have conversation. I'm trying to teach him, but it's a great chance to, like, chat with him about his day and kind of all those things too. So it's a lot of fun, man.
That's what makes baseball so unique, right, is that there's this connection between, you know, parent and child that is different than all the other sports. I think one thing that's cool about baseball, you show up to the yard early, you got a chance to actually feel, touch, talk to these guys, whereas the other sports, it's a lot more difficult to do that. And I think that's why this game remains such a generational game being passed down from generation to generation.
Now, we've had a strong debate on this station over the last couple of days. Two days ago, the Rangers intentionally balked Alex Bregman from second base to third base in extra innings, and the Rangers had a nice, comfy lead, but the manager afterwards said, you know, he gives us some fits back there because of sign stealing, or location stealing, even though they were using the earpiece. And Mike's suggestion is, hey, you got to police this yourself. You got to let these guys know that that's not going to be okay. And there's some other schools of thought of, oh, just let them go ahead and get it. It's not that big of a deal. I was kind of curious what your feeling is on the intentional balk in a late game like that, even if you have a 5-run lead.
I mean, listen, baseball, I mean, everybody is always trying to come up with a strategy that's never been done. And clearly the sign stealing has been a point of contention over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years. I kind of agree with Max Scherzer on this, right? He's not a big fan of the pitch com. He feels like stealing signs is a part of the game, and I agree with that. And it's incumbent upon the team to figure out how to or have intricate enough signs where it's hard to figure out. I mean, it's pretty simple. If you are caught giving signs, it used to be, you know, either somebody would step off, the infielder would have some words, which you're like, listen, we know what you're doing, knock it off. And then there were repercussions afterwards if it continued. Or you simply changed your signs and you made it more difficult for them to figure out. Now, that seems to be a problem now. And so I've seen two teams do that. I didn't see the Rangers do it, but I've seen the Dodgers do it many times, and it drives me nuts. Just balking a guy over because you're that afraid of him giving your signs. Make your signs more difficult to get, or you can let them know, listen, we're not gonna stand for you continuing to do that. We know what you're doing.
Man, that's a good insight, and I think you might have
Mike smiling over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you might have just heavily weighed in on that debate.
Tony, I agree.
Yesterday.
I say this as a former major league pitcher. The answer isn't quitting and saying, just go to third base. Let's figure out something different than quitting.
I mean, I think I watched Kenley Jansen do it last year. Get on the mound, drop the ball purposely so that the runner wasn't on second anymore. And that just seems like quitting. It seems like the easy way out. I get it. I get why. And then, you know, in a late inning game, if it's a close game and you feel like that's your only recourse, then okay, you know, you do what you got to do. But
I don't think it's the greatest look, intentionally balking a guy over to third and giving up a run there.
Thank you very, very much, good sir. Especially today, even more helpful than usual. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, man.
You guys take care.
There you go. That was Odyssey MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider Calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Head out to Driveway.com today to shop more than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory. The KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Now, we're going to pivot to something a little different. And, Corey, you told me about this morning. Mm-hmm. Is what is Richardson ISD up to?
All right, so Richardson ISD trustees adopted a scaled-back plan to ban cell phone use in secondary schools at their meeting Thursday. All right,
what are secondary schools?
Like the higher-level schools, like high school.
And middle school?
Yeah.
Like sixth grade up?
Yeah. Okay. The original proposal was 7th through 12th grades. The board unanimously adopted a modified ban, which now applies to only one pilot campus.
Oh.
So I didn't know that in Richardson they were teaching how to fly airplanes, but that's
awesome. That is not what that means.
All right. But they had a massive outcry from the community with the original proposal, and my understanding was they were like, we're 7th through 12th grade, we're getting rid of phones. A student who enters the school with a cell phone must turn it off and place it in the yonder pouch, which prevents the phone from being used. At daily dismissal, students will be able to open the pouch at an unlocking station throughout the school, and they'll be able to have their phone back, which to me brings up this massive question of when we were in school, we couldn't have any electronics in the school, like Game Boys, you know, those things, because those are distractions.
Right. We are old enough that, at least I am, and I know, Kevin, you are. You're not 40 yet, right?
Mike, you were at my 40th birthday. Mike.
Happy birthday.
That was
so
2 years ago.
The question, Corey.
I am 41.
Thank
now.
You.
That, okay, we weren't old enough to have cell phones because cell phones weren't available unless you had the Zach Morris block phone.
Yeah.
Which I think that was
carrying the charger pack with her. Yeah.
So we didn't have this option as a kid to have a phone at our school.
That's the thing is, my kid, as soon as he got his phone, he's taking it to school. But I know when he was in middle school and elementary school, there were kids bringing their phones, and I was like, that's a distraction. That doesn't need to be there. Then I started thinking, man, I texted my kid during the middle of the day today, and he's in, I don't know what class right now, and I'm distracting him by texting him stuff.
Do you get mad? Are you testing him to see if he texts back and be like, you're in school?
Every once in a while, I'll be like, hey, you need to stop texting me and listen to what you're doing right now. But he also got in trouble last year because he wears his earbuds all day. And he's like, I need music to focus. And I was like, no, you just need to focus.
I had no idea this was a thing until 2 days ago. Is my son, who has at least one earbud in like all the freaking time, is he was like, yeah, I got these new earbuds. There's like a hole there in the middle, and so there's not as much pressure on your ear. And I was like, okay, great. And so Jess goes, do you wear those at school? And I just assumed he would be like, well, no, that's absurd. And he looked at her with the same, that's absurd, but with quite the opposite reaction. He was like, well, yeah.
Everybody.
And I go, what? And he goes, a lot of people do it. And then Jess looked at me and goes, yeah. It starts in about fifth grade is you'll see kids with headphones in, and it's a real problem. And so that blew my freaking mind. So I just don't know if this is ever going to get off the ground. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I see the idea of taking away headphones and cell phones from kids in the classroom, but I don't know if this will get tracked.
And I guarantee the fan text is going to say, hey, what about mass shootings? What about in these emergency type situations? Absolutely. I totally understand the opportunity to make a phone call and have the police come protect you in those moments. Like, that's for sure.
Here's my concern about that, Corey. Yesterday, got an email, got a call from Garland ISD that Brandon's school had been locked down. Ooh. So I sent him a feverish text that said, what happened? ! His response, ! And I was like, didn't your school get locked down? And he goes, oh, yeah, not really. And then I learned in that moment, my son fundamentally doesn't know what a lockdown is because he said, not really. Nothing happened. They just locked all the doors so no one could get in or leave the building. I was like, what? So I learned in that moment, my kid doesn't know what a lockdown is, but it was just there was a police presence in the area because of something not related outside to the school. Yeah. But I understand the need for that for sure.
I do have to also take into consideration the idea, Mike, that we didn't have to multitask at such a young age. Like, these kids have already started multitasking. Like, they're multitasking.
They're trying to.
Beyond, yeah. They're but they're beyond where we were at that point. But I don't even think about the idea that I have to have some sort of music in my ears to focus at school. I just need to be in there focusing at school. Otherwise, they gave me medicine for
that. That's a lovely idea.
So we're playing music behind our stuff now, is so that there's more focus there?
Nobody notices that, Mike.
Woo! I don't even know what Mike's talking about.
I have no clue what you're saying.
I mean,
it's for the youngsters.
Oh my God, please don't ever say that again. We're the KT Masterpiece right
the
here.
The little ones?
On 105.3 The Fan.
For the kids.
Coming up next.
Feels so jazzy.
It's time for Gridiron Gravy, the biggest boom or bust player for every team in the NFL in 2022. Y'all keep rocking on, and we'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Thanks.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Oh, yeah. Buttermilk. Biscuits.
Talk to Mike on social media. He has lots of thoughts about Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah.
Dig it.
All right. We have to get this out of the way. I feel like we talk about this every day. But then again, I think I said that yesterday, too.
Deshaun Watson. Is that my guess?
That is correct.
Yes.
Supposedly, the NFLPA or whoever has floated out that Deshaun Watson would accept an 8-game suspension and pay a $5 million fine. Now, think about what the implications of that are. Currently, he is suspended 6 games with no fine. And his camp is leaking out that they would accept 8 games and a $5 million fine. What do you think that means is the buzz they've heard about a suspension? Means much longer than that. So
yeah, I mean, they recognize it's the NFL. The ball's in the NFL's court at this point.
And they decided they didn't care for fairness like before.
So yeah, I think they understand. Look, man, if the NFL wants to ram through a judgment of an indefinite fine, they probably could do that. Or indefinite suspension.
Yeah, I guess.
What do you think? What do you think the biggest value of that stern of a fine for a player that young, with that much of a career in front of him? Like, what do you think the benefit it is to the NFL? Is it more, and maybe it's equal, the league looks better because they were stern against it, or there are other players out there that are going, man, I can't be that. I don't want to be that, which would, again, then tarnish the look of the league.
I think you're onto something. I'd almost kind of like conflated those into the same point, whether that's fair or not, is the league wants the idea that they are going to take this stuff seriously and set it up. But here's the other thing, and this is honestly what I think it's about too. is the NFL is like, hey, we just wanted to remind you that independent or not, we're going to get our way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and which is a shame. Like, I really wish the rules would have been different because I do think Deshaun Watson deserves to be suspended for a year. But I also think it's a weird look for the NFL to negotiate that there's going to be some independence in this procedure. They get independence. It ends up at six games, and they said, that doesn't really work for us, so we're going to put somebody who used to be on our payroll back in charge. Like, it'll get the desired outcome, but the way they're getting there is very flawed.
I do question this, too. If you're, like, the team, do you look at it and go, we kind of just signed this guy to a really big contract? Can he play, like, six this year and, like, six next year? Can we spread this out just a little bit?
Who gets to pick like, those games?
Because I heard 24 games, Kevin. Like, okay. 24 at some point.
All right, let me put you guys to the test.
That's here. A whole season plus seven.
All right, here's how it's going to go. You get 24 games. You can serve them all consecutively, or I will let you serve them over the span of 6 years, but I get to pick the games.
Oh, man. Oh, I would say that, but obviously you're going to pick games that are going to end up hurting our team, right? Like, maybe we're about to make the playoffs, and you're like, nope, not today, baby.
I think, I don't know this, but I would think that an organization would rather it just all be at one point.
Yeah.
Because you can't really prepare.
Yeah, that's two and a half years of his career.
Like, you give us, like, 2 weeks' notice, but you're saying, hey,
yeah,
Thanksgiving or the last game of the season.
Yeah.
Since you guys win your last two games, you're in the playoffs, or you win your division, we're like, well, we're going to hit you with one of these games. So at the end of the season, you don't have your quarterback for the possible making of the playoffs. You'd rather go, if that was the case, you'd rather just say, I'd rather just have this whole 2022 season somewhat wiped out for us, thinking that in 2023, Deshaun Watson would be our starting quarterback for a whole bunch of money.
Now, we get this from the 817. How about the reason being to protect all NFL female employees and all their contractor female employees and possibly all their employees and related family members who happen to be female, protecting them too and sending a message? Yeah, but that's the thing. They never cared about that before. The NFL has literally openly told you, we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the F out of a woman? That's fine. Six games. Like, they have told you, we literally do not care until outside forces force our hand and corporate sponsors might leave. Then, we care. And Roger Goodell stands up there and says, we have zero tolerance. I don't understand how the follow-up question is, what do you mean you have zero tolerance? Isn't your tolerance six games? Like, beat up a woman and you have to sit out a month and a half. Isn't that your tolerance level?
Yep. No, that's absolutely right there, man. Well, I mean, if you had zero tolerance,
yeah,
they wouldn't be back.
Yeah, you're out. And so,
but you got to make some money off those guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, and that's very true. Is so for that person asking that, I agree. That should be a great message. It's just a message the NFL has never particularly cared about before. All right, who do you think has had the least money bet on them to win the Super Bowl this year? Now, keep in mind, you have to factor in odds and everything like
Texans.
Okay. That's a good guess.
The most money bet on them?
The least money bet on them?
That's a. What about Jags? They had the first pick back-to-back
Panthers.
Years.
Ooh, you guys are circling. You're circling, but you haven't.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good guess.
Still no, circling.
I feel like you the guys spheres. Are. Y'all are like kind of on the right field, but you haven't quite gotten it just yet.
On the right field. Justin Fields.
The Chicago Bears.
Nice.
At 100-1 have been the least bet team to win the Super Bowl in all of the NFL.
That's because Bears fans don't believe this year. Like Bears fans will typically be there, all right? Like, they're in. They're invested. They're looking at this team going, I don't even want to bet this thing this year.
Now, on the flip side, you know who everybody believes in. I know you're
Cowboys.
Thinking about it.
Bills.
Cowboys.
No, this is... I'm sorry. My apologies. This is an individual player. Everybody believes...
The seat of the president of the country.
In Ramondre Stevenson, the running back for the New England Patriots. He is 500-1 to lead the league in regular season touchdowns. However, with that in mind...
Doesn't Bill Belichick use 7,000 running backs in a year?
Yes, he does. And he even said, whoever's calling the plays, that they're still determining on a day-to-day, by-day basis.
This is his second year at OU, right?
I believe so.
He had like 606 yards.
I know Carter's hyped up about him.
He had five touchdowns last year. So
500-1. 38% of the money in thus far on this category is on Ramondre Stevenson.
Did they lose their other 17 running backs that they used during a game?
I think it probably is more the odds, Mike.
Didn't James White just retire?
He retired, that is true. Mm-hmm. I think it's going more the 500-to-1 odds than
Damian
anything
Harris,
else.
Stevenson, Ty Montgomery, Pierre Strong Jr.
That's where Ty Montgomery ended up? Huh.
That's at least on ESPN.com's running back depth chart. That's what they have. But, I mean, maybe he will be.
500-to-1, it's probably worth a little bit of a shot right there. Sad news for Earl Thomas is his house caught on fire yesterday in Orange. Yeah.
More Houston. Isn't Orange closer to Louisiana,
yes,
Houston area?
Yeah,
it's in the Golden Triangle. Well, it's closer to the Golden Triangle where the Beaumont, Port Arthur, out that way.
And the early reports, I apologize, I did not check for a follow-up this morning. The early reports were it was a lightning strike that set off the fire for former NFL player Earl Thomas's house to get burned up.
I didn't do it. That's all I know.
Okay. I believe you. Well,
I wrote a headline once, and then somebody's house caught on fire.
Do we need to talk about that
real
quick?
By a lightning strike.
Is when we were at the paper, he wrote a story about the soccer player who scored like 3-4 games in a row, and he said so-and-so is on fire. Within a day or two,
the next morning,
that girl's house burned down.
Got hit by lightning and caught on fire and burned to the ground. And I was like, what?
Why would you do this?
I just wrote a headline. All I did was write a headline. I did not know that that was going to happen. The force is strong.
Now, potential biggest boom or bust players across the NFL for the Dallas Cowboys, Yard Barker has it as Jalen Tolbert because he's a rookie, so a lot of expectations on him might be too high. But on the flip side, clearly you're not overflowing with healthy wide receivers at the moment.
Maybe I missed it. Did he do anything yesterday in scrimmage practice that people were excited about?
Not that I heard about. Okay. I know the big discussion was the connection with Noah Lamb. Brown and then CeeDee Lamb and then Zeke getting trucked by Chubb. And
I do think we're putting a lot on a kid who is the 15th wide receiver in the draft. I mean, I'm hoping he's great, but literally a whole bunch of other teams took 14 wide receivers before him. Now, it doesn't mean he is going to end up being the 15th, but we surely are putting a lot of expectation on a dude who wasn't like a top 10 at least receiver in the draft.
I would like to comment also on the Zeke getting trucked thing and then like the Cowboys not responding in what I think was the right way.
Yeah.
Mike, this is a team that got bullied on both sides of the ball in a playoff game. And that's the big question of can they get the attitude to be dogs again? And they're complaining about it in practice. Instead of standing up and being like, you know what, we're just going to bully you guys back harder. And I got some questions about this team's state of mind, man, that I'm really concerned about.
All right, I have a follow-back question for you. Will this be where Trayvon Diggs falls? Now, the NFL's top 100 players of 2022, voted on by the players themselves, it starts on Sunday. So players 100 to 51 will be revealed. Every episode's an hour long. Okay. They'll give you 10 players in every single episode. Now, catch this in particular. I noticed this. Three cornerbacks, two of which are going to be on the list for the very first time, will be revealed in episode 2, which is players 90 through 81. Could they be talking about Trayvon Diggs in this mix? I think 81 to 90 feels like a reasonable.
I would hope he makes the top 100. Yeah, I can't imagine past 70 he would make the list. But 70 through 100, somewhere in there, I'd like that.
Okay, so just keep an eye out on that. Sunday night, they'll roll out the first 50 players on this list, and perhaps we'll get Trayvon Diggs in the 81 to 90 range. Coming up next, we will get back to your shout-outs. I've been slacking on that. I apologize. We'll get to it. 877-881-1053. Plus, the Cowboys season starts in 30 days. Can they score at least 30 points per game again this year? Do it all next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.